chapter 7. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7. We'll read verse 11 and then jump to verse 20 through 28. I'll begin reading. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? Verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our God and our Father, we again draw near unto thee in thy presence, beseeching thee, Lord, to continue teaching us, inspiring us, and even blessing us with your message. Father, we thank you for the word that has been read in our ears. We are grateful to you because you did not leave us without a witness. Your word is just here with us. Your word, which is life, to us, life eternal. And indeed your word, which reveal to us your will for our lives. And therefore, as we have gathered again this morning, we ask thee, Lord, to help us understand what you are speaking to us now. Be with each one of us here, and may glory and honor be unto thee. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. My dear brethren, the book of Hebrews was addressed to the Jews first, who were living in the diaspora. And it is believed that it was addressed to the Jews who were living in Rome. And mind you that it was a time when Christianity was under threat. Believers, apostles were being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And at this moment, when this book was being written, Judaism was legalized as part of the religion which was recognized by the Roman authority. And therefore, you can imagine that here are the Christians who are being persecuted because of their faith. And then, because of that threat, most of them were tempted to leave the faith and then draw back to Judaism. And hence this book was addressed to these people so as to encourage them to still fight on, to still believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read through this book, we will discover that it centers on the priesthood, first priesthood according to the order of Aaron, and priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. And this chapter that we have just read, actually, it also centers on the same. It dwells on the priesthood of the two orders, that of Melchizedek and that of Aaron. And therefore, our sharing this morning will be based on the supremacy of Jesus' priesthood. The supremacy of Jesus' priesthood. And I would like to take you through briefly following three themes. The first one is why there was need for Jesus' priesthood. The second one, how Jesus' priesthood differs from Aaronic priesthood. And finally, we shall look at the lessons that we can draw from Jesus' priesthood. How does it benefit us as Christians of today, the priesthood of our Lord Jesus? And one thing that we should know, that as we read through this book of Hebrews, we should be bearing in mind that indeed it's a book of encouragement to us. It was an encouragement to the people before, but now it's addressing us, the Christians of today, particularly this time when Christianity again is being threatened with the liberalism, talk of understanding the Bible basing on the reasoning, and even this postmodernism. So it's I would encourage you to read through this book, because it will help you to be encouraged and grow spiritually, even in the midst when many of our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord are drifting away into apostasy. And therefore, we shall begin our sharing on the first thought, why there was a need for Jesus' priesthood. Why there was a need for another priesthood, and that is the Jesus priesthood. Verse 11, as we have read, it gives us the purpose, the reason, the main reason why God saw it necessary to have another priesthood, to replace the first priesthood of Aaronic order with this other priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 through 15, the author presents to us two types of priesthood, one which is Levitical priesthood, and another through the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest king from the city of Salem. He met Abraham when he was returning from war, and then Abraham, you know, offered Melchizedek a tenth of his spoils, and in return for a blessing. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham because of, you know, the tithe that Abraham had made to him. And Melchizedek was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham. And on the other hand, Levitical priesthood, as we read through, was through hereditary. It was chosen in the tribe of Levi. The book of Leviticus tells us clearly the role played by these priests, which, among other things, was conducting worship in the tabernacle, and also looking after the tabernacle. At the same time, they were also offering sacrifices on behalf of the people, and even on behalf of themselves, for the forgiveness of their sins before God. And as we read in verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? So you can see from this verse the underlying reason why it was necessary for God to bring in another priesthood, and this time, after the order of Melchizedek, the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was because perfection was not attained through this priesthood. And we can see this reason in the following ways. Firstly, it was based on the law as the basic requirement for appointing, you know, the priests. It was based on the law. Secondly, it was based on hereditary, as I said previously. And as such, it was not universal in its coverage. The tribe of Levi, and then were selected priests to the nation of Israel. It wasn't to the entire nations of the world. So it was hereditary and something that was limited to the nation of Israel. And thirdly, alone priests also needed atonement before they could offer sacrifice for the people. Hence it was weak and unprofitable. That is why it became necessary for the change. Perhaps a question would be, then why was there a priesthood according to the order of Aaron? My dear brethren, God did not make any mistake when he had to institute priesthood through the order of Aaron. But the problem with the sons of Israel is that they were making the law as an end in itself. You see, God had given the law, instituted this priesthood office for the sake of pointing to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was something that had to point to the real priesthood, and that was the one which was coming by our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the people of Israel felt as if when they follow the law, when they keep the law, then everything would be okay. And that's why when Christ had come, they could not take time to recognize and even to acknowledge his coming. They still could not believe because they trusted in the law. And yet God had instituted the law, which was pointing to the real thing, and that real thing being our Lord Jesus Christ. And similarly, when you look at the election of the people of Israel, it wasn't necessarily mean that the people of Israel were better off than the other tribes of the world, or maybe the other nations of the world. But God did it deliberately, so that the world should see the light through our Lord Jesus Christ. It may be the case with us. God had called us into his kingdom. You were chosen by God, but it was for a purpose. It's not just an end, whereby having been chosen, having been born again, and then I just stay without fulfilling the purpose of the Lord. God has called you, has called me, so that he should accomplish his mission to the others who are still in darkness. It's not an end in itself that God called you and me. Similarly, in the case of the sons of Israel. So, that's the difference which we can see in the priesthood of Aaronic order and then the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. God felt it was necessary to have another priesthood. The second thing is how Jesus' priesthood differs from Aaronic priesthood. I think you can also look at some points which some ways that point to the differences between these two kinds of priesthood. It should be noted in the first place that the author to the Hebrews announces from Psalms chapter 110 verse 4 that God has decided to appoint a priest by a means other than those found in the law. We read in Psalms that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This priesthood was not based on the tribe or hereditary, as we said, but it was the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And mind you, as I said about Melchizedek, he was priestly king. And if you look at the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is of the line of Judah. That's why in Revelations we read that he was the Lion of Judah. He is the Lion of Judah. So he could not come through the Levitical tribe, but it was a priesthood that a tribe different from the usual tribe which the priests were coming from. And in verse 20, it says that Jesus' priesthood was made through an oath. And mind you, anything that is made through an oath is binding. It's not temporal. It's forever. And even to add on to that, when we read in verse 22, is that Christ himself was made a guarantee, a grantor to this priesthood. In other words, it's a priesthood which is meant forever. Something that is to last, not temporal. So the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not temporal. And after all, it's a priesthood which was made guaranteed by God. In other words, it was an oath, a divine oath, which means it was God himself who was responsible also that this priesthood should remain forever. So, the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can be assured in that way that it's a priesthood which is even now, that our Christ is the high priest, and he is the high priest forever. And Jesus is the priest of the Most High God, and yet truly the King of righteousness. And as if he was, it was predicted by Zechariah in chapter 6, verse 13, that he should be a priest upon his throne. His is therefore a royal priesthood. That is why those who believe in Christ, those who accept Christ as their personal Savior, they are within that royal priesthood, as we read in the letter of Peter to all. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that indeed all those who accept Christ, we are in that royal priesthood. You see, the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ is even transferred to us, and that we can go direct to God without needing somebody to do it for us. That's the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood, very different from that of Aaron. Therefore, finally, my brethren, what lessons can we draw from the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ? And verse 25 actually gives us, you know, the main lessons which we can get out of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 25 it reads, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He is able to save to the uttermost. Christ is not only made to be a high priest, but he is also a savior of mankind. Christ is able to save them that come to God through him completely. In fact, the salvation is complete. It's not inadequate, but it's a complete salvation. Particularly when we consider this term, uttermost, he's able to save them to the uttermost. What does that mean? See, commentators say it explains how capable Christ is to save, and our response in his calling. You know, Christ is able to save from all the present and the future consequences of sin. The sin now, and even the sin tomorrow, and even all the consequences that may come of sin unto us, Christ is able to save you. And again, he's able to save to the uttermost, in the sense that into all the positive enjoyments of the divine favor, talk of justification, regeneration, adoption, holiness, peace, joy, unspeakable, and full of glory, all these Christ grant to all those people who come to him in faith. At the same time, it also shows us the magnitude of this saving act of our Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ is even able to save to the lowest depths of the sin and misery, just as he saved the most sinful cases that we read in the Bible. I mean, look at the criminal who was crucified with him. A criminal, but once he realized his sins and believed in Christ, Christ was able to save him, and he said, "You will be with me right now in paradise." I mean, look what people like Magdalene, a harlot as she was, Christ was able to save her and bring her into the kingdom of God. You know, our God is so wonderful. It doesn't matter how much we have offended him. As long as we realize our failures, we realize, we acknowledge our sin before him, he is able to save. There is nothing that can hinder him. That's why the Bible says he is a priest. He is able to save to the uttermost. And another thing which is also good that we find in the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are told here that having lived to make intercession, you know, the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ is so significant, because when you look at Christ himself, that he lived like you and me, like a man here on earth. He went through all the human sufferings that we may think of, and up to the death on the cross. He went through, I mean, he's able to understand our weaknesses, which we go through here on earth. He's the perfect advocate, because he's able to intercede for us to God. He's there continuously interceding for you and me, so that we should not drift away. That's why the letter to the Hebrews was, you know, encouraging the people, urging them. There is no need for you to go back to your faith, previous faith, to go back to your sins, because we have our Christ, who is the high priest. He is interceding, busy interceding for you and me. And that knowledge alone, it's an encouragement even to you. If you are coming through, you are going through difficulties, we have our perfect high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save you even now. And again, he was able to save to the uttermost, you know, from the beginning to the end of our world's duration, all and every man within our world's circumference. He is able. He is not limited to the geographical boundary. He is able to save anyone else, so long as he come to him, or she come to him, she comes to him in faith. So, in this case, therefore, my dear brethren, we can trust our Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. We can put our trust in him. He will never disappoint you. He will never disappoint me. Because he is our perfect high priest. He is priestly king. The king of righteousness. All is embraced in him. And when we accept him as our savior, he provides for us. He provides for our needs, and he will continue to be with us. May the good Lord be honored and praised through his word. Shall we pray? May glory and honor be unto thee, our Father and our Redeemer. We are grateful, Lord, for you are the God who cares, the God who saves, the God who sustains the lives of your children. We are thankful, Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, for your priestly office, that indeed you offered yourself as a perfect sacrifice sacrifice without any defect in order to save a poor sinner like me, like my colleague seated here. Therefore, Lord, we thank you for this assurance that you are giving us, that indeed you are the God who is concerned with our lives day in, day out. Therefore, as the word has been preached to us, help us to take this word and then put it into action, that you should be our high priest forever. We thank you, Lord, that as you encourage the people, the Jews then, the believing Jews then, the message can also be transferred to us, the believers of today. What a privilege that we have in this. And therefore you are worthy to be worshipped. And therefore now as we retire, may you go with us and bring us again this afternoon and also this evening, so that our hearts will continue to be edified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.